Tonight, I want to just talk to you for a few minutes about being successful in life. You know, a lot of people have different ideas about success. And consequently, we see a lot of people trying a lot of different things and doing a lot of different going a lot of different directions. But you know, God told Joshua in Joshua 1:8, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you'll make your way prosperous, and then you'll have good success in life." Now the contemporary English says, "Never stop speaking about the instruction scroll. Recite it day and night so that you can carefully obey everything written in it. Then you'll be able to accomplish your objectives and you will succeed." The voice says, "Let the words from the book of the law be also on your lips. Meditate on them day and night so that you may be careful to live by all that's written, that is written in it. If you do, as you make your way through this world, you will prosper and always, always find success." You know, the context of this verse shows us that God was giving Joshua instructions on how to be a success. And we can see from this verse that God wants us to be successful. Actually, we can see that from reading the Bible. You know, I'm aware of a lot of religious people. I said religious people. They believe that you should go through life wandering around like a beggar, soles of your shoes wore out, no money, dressed in rags, barely get along street down that right beside Gone Boulevard. But to hear some people talk, that's the way you would think, you know. But if you notice, God gave instruction to Joshua how to be successful, and it was to stay in the book of the law. Now, we would say it like this: stay in the word. That's what we would say. You know, real success really is being in the will of God. Now, too many times when you talk about being in the will of God, people think, oh, that's ministry. No, the will of God for some people is other things. Real success is being obedient to God's word. Real success is being on a journey that God has for you. You know, successful people are people that travel that journey and reach the final destination. You know, we need to, as we go along this journey, we need to grow up spiritually. We need to serve God in some capacity in our church, local church. We need to accomplish certain tasks and goals. We need to learn skills and talents so that we can help humanity. I'm just not talking about ministry, you know, although that would be included in all of this. I'm talking about whatever journey God's got you on, you know. He may have you on a journey of being a successful business person. He may have you on a journey of being a successful stay-home mom raising children. He may have you on a journey of being successful in public service. He may have you in, you know, being successful in working in a government position or being successful in the education field or in the medical field or being a mechanic, air conditioned person. I sure am glad we got air conditioned people because, you know, it was hot this summer here. And we had air conditioned people that kept our air conditioners going, you know. See, doing all these things doesn't mean that you're not with God. See, some people think that if you're in a vocation, you're not doing anything for God. Well, that's probably where God wants you. He usually allows people to go into the areas that they're best suited for, and then he will call some people to be in certain areas. Even in the ministry, you will notice that he puts people in areas that have certain talents and giftings, you know. If you're going to go on a trip, you have to do certain things to reach a certain destination. So I want to talk to you tonight about some biblical things to help you be a success along this journey. Now, of course, the Word of God has to be the number one priority. Our text told us, don't let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Like I said, we should say the Word of God. And then the Word of God provides the foundation in which you build your whole life for success. The Word of God is a roadmap for you to go in the right direction. You know, the Word of God gives you the parameters where you should live. You know, as long as you're operating in line with the Word of God, God will help you and will sustain you and make you a success in whatever it is that you're doing. You know, what does it mean when it says meditate? Well, if you check that out, it means to murmur, ponder, imagine, study, talk the Word of God. And if you'll notice, it has to be in the Word of God needs to be in our mind and our mouth. You know, too many people think about the Word, but they never confess it. You know, you're supposed to speak it. If we believe the Word and speak it out of our mouth, then we'll have what we say. That's what Mark 11:23 says. That's what this ministry is built on. But you know, we can believe what the Bible says about salvation, but do you know you will never be saved until you confess it with your mouth? That's what Romans 10:10 says. Now, you know, so many, I mean, well, let me say it this way. We have the instruction from the Word of God to speak the Word of God in the areas of our life so that will affect us so that we can accomplish what we need to do in life. You know, some people think that you're not successful, you know, if you're not being in a ministry. Hey, everybody is a minister. You may be making your money and sustaining your lifestyle through wherever you're working. But then you should be involved in a local church and then that's where true success comes in. And I'm getting part of my Sunday sermon mixed up in here. You know, it takes faith to travel this road of life that we live in. Oh, you know, let me give you some practical advice. Outline yourself a program of reading, studying, meditating, confessing the Word of God. And especially identify scriptures that addresses the needs in your life at that particular moment. Meditate on these. Speak these out. Now, there's certain scriptures that I try to read every day. I got it from my dad. He did it. And that's Ephesians 1:17-23 and Ephesians 3:14-21. That is two good scriptures that you should read for your own self every day. And put your personal name in there. My wife got me one of these New Testaments that's got my name in there. And so when I read this, you know, that it says that Ken would have all wisdom and understanding. And I just go on down through there. But you see, you need to learn to do that. That'll help you be successful. Now, you also need to find out what your God-given purpose in life is, what you're supposed to do in the church, in your spiritual life, and what you're supposed to do in the natural life. Now, if you read Acts 26:16-20, you'll see that Paul is standing before King Agrippa, and he says, And he asked, he said, "Who are you?" And then 16 starts out. He said, "I'm the Lord." And he said, "Rise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness both to the things which you have seen and the things which I will reveal to you." Now, here Paul is getting his what he's supposed to do in life. "I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles to whom I send you now, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light, from power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins, inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Therefore, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision, but declared first to those in Damascus and then in Jerusalem throughout all the region of Judea and then to the Gentiles that they should repent and turn to God and do what works befitting repentance." Now, Paul was successful in life. He knew what his purpose was, and he carried out that purpose. You see, we need to understand that Paul didn't try to do what the other apostles are doing. We need to each get involved in our lives and not try to copy somebody else, be somebody else. I was teaching one of my classes the other day. I think it was an itinerant class, and I used to laugh at people because they tried to copy my dad. Now, if you've ever seen my dad teach and preach, he'd get to the edge of the platform and he'd hang half of his feet off of the edge of the platform, right? How many of you have seen that? And then he'd stand there and talk and do this. Right? Well, I see people doing that, you know, and I thought, they have to consciously make an effort to do that. They're trying to be, you know, be yourself with God and who he, and you'll be successful. Now, I caught myself the other day sitting in my office. I had read some stuff and I had to make some decisions concerning some things. And so I actually got up and was sort of walking around in my office. And the next thing you know, I looked down and I said, wait. But you know what? I'm not doing it out of trying to copy. I guess I got the DNA. So I guess I just, you know. One guy said he had never seen my dad. Well, I said, if you've seen me, if you've seen the son, you've seen the father. I catch myself being more like him every day, and I guess that's good. I don't know. I think it is anyway. You know, some people try to be everything. My dad called it being a jack of all trades and master of none. Some ministries try to do everything. You know, we here do what God told us to do. Dad's vision was God told him to get on the radio, the printed page, and then he told us to start the school. That's what we do. I extended it on now. I get on TV, but as well as radio. But that's us. Somebody said, well, you should do this or you should do that. In fact, a guy got really upset at me because I wouldn't join his program and help him do a certain thing. I said, that's not what God, he didn't call me to feed nobody. That's what he called you to do, and that's good, but that's not what he called us to do. You see, many people, even in their own personal lives, they try to be too many things. Yes. You people that don't live in Tulsa don't know what we have here. We have people that they go to one service at one church, and we got so many good charismatic churches. They go to another church on the second service, and then they go somewhere else on to another church on Sunday night and another one on Wednesday night. And now they wonder why they're confused. Because every church and ministry has its own DNA and has its own vision. And you need to get into one you can hook up with, and you hook up with that vision and so forth. I mean, you know, what we do here is not what somebody else, one of the others, what they do. That's praise the Lord for them. They're doing a good job. But, you know, it's time that we realize that people hook up, need to hook up where they fit. You know. Somebody said, man, they're telling me, some other pastors, I don't know who it was, boy, you have a lot of strong men in your church. I said, well, praise the Lord. And one of the, it was here at some big meeting, and one of the ushers heard him say it, and he was standing there, and he said, pardon me, but I can answer that question for you. And I said, okay. And he said, because we have a strong man as the leader. You know, well, praise God. I mean, I'm not trying to put no flowers on me. What I'm trying to say is everybody needs to hook up and get it. They can't be successful until they hook up and get involved somewhere where they can be a blessing. Hello, you know what I'm talking about? We need to realize that without purpose and vision, nothing happens. You find a person that doesn't have any purpose in life, and they're not successful in anything. And you got to have a purpose, and then you got to stay focused on that purpose and don't let nothing distract you. You know, I don't know how many times for years, Tony Cook was one of my associates, but for years they'd always, people tell us, we need to have a school, grades 1st through 12, didn't they, Tony? And I would tell them, that ain't what we call to do. I said, there are other people do that. That's good. People will try to get you, if you're not careful, in your life, they'll try to get, well, you need to do this, and you need to do that, and you need to do the other. No, you need to do what you feel like God wants you to do. How many understand where I'm coming from on this? Anybody get anything out of this? You know, for you that are here for the women's conference, this is what I do on Wednesday night. I call it a one-way conversation with everybody. I just talk about stuff. I don't try to get anybody hopped up or shouting, because people need to, you need something that you can get a hold of that can take you through life. You know, see, now, another thing we need to do if we're going to be successful is identify our assets. And I'm not just talking about natural assets. You know, we have assets because of who we are in Christ. We got the promises of God. We got the name of Jesus. We got the blood of Jesus. We got the angels that surround us. We got the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. Hello. Holy Spirit's greater. The greater one lives on the inside of us. You have the Word of God to speak out of your mouth. You can level your opposition with the Word of God. You know, somebody will roll up their sleeves and get in a fight. Well, you don't roll up your sleeves and get in a fight with the devil. You defeat the devil with your mouth, speaking the Word of God. Hello. Now, you know, each person has gifts and talents. They need to use those gifts and talents for the betterment of mankind. If you go over to the, you know, when the master gave out the talents to the one guy and he went and got more, and he gave it to the other guy and he went and got more, and then he gave it to the one guy and he went and hid his, he didn't do nothing with it. How many remember that story? The one guy, he had five, so he got five more. He added two. The other guy had two, and I think he ended up with five, or I forgot what, I don't know. But then the guy with the one, he didn't do nothing. Now the two guys that took their talents and did something with them, the master gave them the same reward. But the guy didn't do nothing with his talent. He said, kick him out. He's not worth anything. That's what the Bible said. I didn't say it. That's what, and that that's we that have, we have talents and gifts. Then we need to identify our talents and gifts, and we need to use those talents and gifts. Those, most of the time, your talents and gifts, or a lot of times, is an indicator of the path that you'll get taken down. Dedicate your talents and gifts to the Lord. You know, develop those talents and gifts so that you can be the best you can be at what you do. You know, you see these people up here singing, they got talents to sing. They do other things too. But that's what they do here in the church. They use their talents here. Now they use them other places too. See, develop your strengths and manage your weaknesses. My dad used to say it this way, develop your strengths and camouflage your weakness. Now, if you played sports, especially football, you try to disguise where you're weak by setting up a formation that disguises it, covers up your weak spot. Am I right? How many football players I got here? That's right. You got to, you know. And if you're looking at the other team, you look for their weaknesses. And you go at their weaknesses. The enemy will come at your weaknesses, so you need to shore up your weaknesses by the word of God. Now, we need to make a list of our assets, both in the spiritual side and the natural side, and use them effectively. When I try to talk to people here on Wednesday night, or most of the time, anytime I preach, I try to talk both sides, natural and spiritual, because we are a spiritual person living in a natural world, and we need to be successful in both worlds. And actually, the same principles that make you a success in the spiritual will make you a success in the natural. Many people don't realize that, but it's the truth. You know, now we got to develop a sense of timing. Be at the right place at the right time. Ecclesiastes 3:1, and then drop down to verse 11. To everything there is a season and a time for every purpose under heaven. Drop down to verse 11. And he has made everything beautiful in its time. You may know what to do, but you also got to know when. You know, take a farmer. A farmer knows what to do, but there's a certain time that you work the field. There's a certain time that you plant the seed. There's a certain time that you cultivate the crop. And then there's a time for harvest, you know. Now, my grandpa, first 5-6 years of my life, was a Blackland farmer down there in that Blackland in North Central Texas, raising cotton. And you know, I mean, after the cotton season was over and everything, that field would just lay there, dormant. But I know I'd be there visiting, and he'd come in, and Grandma would be in there, and he'd say, "Oh, Savannah, I was out there looking around. Couple weeks, I need to turn that soil over." Any farmers here? No, am I right? He said, "We need to turn that soil over." Well, what was he doing? He was getting it ready to go out there and do what all they do to it, and then then you plant. But you just don't go out there and plant. You see, there's a time. A large part of success is being in the right place at the right time. many years ago, Lynette and I were on vacation, and we were over in Nashville, and so we took this tour, and we went to one of the studios, and they were showing us, you know, where they do all those recordings and stuff. And the manager there, he said, there are more good singers here in Nashville than some of the hit stars. They've just never been at the right place at the right time to be discovered. You know, we need to let that be a part of our prayer. Lord, help me to be at the right time at the right place with the right people to be a success both in the natural and the spiritual. You know, think about it. Life is a series of seasons. So we need to make sure that we learn all we can and accomplish what we're supposed to during that season. Hello. You know, I mean, you can look back. I look back on my life. You know, there was a season there. I was a teenager, but I traveled all over with Dad in the ministry. Then I went off to boarding school in my junior year in high school, up to Kennerville Bible Academy. And then my senior year, I went to Southwestern High School, the Southwestern College, Assembly of God College there. They had a high school down there then. Then I went into Bible school. Then I had to go to the Army. Then I went in the Army, came back, got married, started trying to be an evangelist, and it wasn't working too good, so I became an associate pastor. Really, pastoring wasn't on my heart, but I became associate pastor. And then I came with this ministry, and I was helping Dad in all of his crusades and stuff. And then we started Rhema. And then after that, I'm traveling all over preaching and doing my evangelistic work, which I really love to do and I was excited about. And in 85, he said, start a church. And I didn't want to start a church. I had an argument with him over it too. Finally, I was in a crusade in over in Africa. And I come off a platform and we got to the hotel and Lynette said, what is the matter with you? I said, why? She said, you can't even preach anymore. I said, oh, I know it. I said, oh. But I was battling. I mean, because I didn't want to do. And when you don't want to do what God's telling you to do, your grace to do what you've been doing is lifted and you can keep trying to do it, but it ain't going to work. It ain't going to work. You know, but as I look back, I didn't realize what I was doing, but I learned and I did everything that I was supposed to do, even when I didn't like what I was doing, because one of my characteristics is, and I got it from Dad, because he is that I give it everything I've got and whatever I'm doing. Doesn't make no difference what it is. Because Dad told me, he said, son, if it's worth doing, it's worth doing right, or don't do it at all. You know? So, and actually, Colossians 3:23 says, and whatever you do, do it heartily, as unto the Lord, not to man, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance if you serve the Lord Christ. You know? And I told you one of my characteristics is I do everything. I mean, when I do a message, it's the best I can do at that particular time. It may not be that good, but it's all I got for that time. You know, I had coaches who used to tell me, said, Hagin, you're not as good a player as so-and-so, but I can't depend on them when I put them in the game. If they've had an argument with their girlfriend, they won't play. The coach told me, it don't matter what happens. When you go walk across those lines, you forget about everybody and everything. You put everything you got into it. And I said, well, that's what my dad told me to do it. And I said, if I'm going to play the game, then I'm going to play it with everything I'm got, or I'm going to go over here and sit on the bench. You know, there's a lot of people that that way. They just want to make the team. They don't care if they ever get in the game or not. Any of y'all, any of you guys, any football players in here, ex-football players in here, did y'all ever have any people that just made the team? They didn't care if they ever got in the game or not. And if they did get in the game, they couldn't do nothing because they were just half-hearted at it. It was just a half-hearted effort. You know, hey, if you're going to play the game, then give it everything you got or get out. You know, don't hold back. Don't be half-hearted. You know, it says here, whatever you do, do heartily. Whatever you do, do it with everything you got. And it didn't say spiritually. It just said, do it as unto the Lord, not unto men, everything you do. See, you need to allow God to be in your natural life. I allow God to be in my natural life. And I talked to him about my natural life. He concerned about me. Somebody, one guy laughed at me because I was getting a parking place. And I said, thank you, Lord, for a good parking place. And I ain't got nothing to do with spirit or spirituality. And he said, well, God don't care whether you get a good. I said, yeah, he does, because God cares about me and he cares about what I'm doing. And he said, if I'd ask, I'd receive. And so I want a close parking place. I don't want to park out there. Come on. See, we sometimes want to relegate God to our spiritual life. Yes, he's there in our spiritual life, but he wants to be in our natural life. You know, if you're going, you know, an athlete, the only chance they got to win is to give it everything they got. If you're in business or whatever you do, you have to give it everything you got. Now I realize we got a lot of people in different kinds, but William's sitting here on front row, so I'll use him. If you was down here, I might use you. But William is a salesman at Mathis Brothers. And he's been, for years, been top salesman. What'd you tell me you was last year?
Did well.
Did real well. He ain't gonna tell me. But you see, he puts what has to be put into it to be that top salesman. Right? You know, I was talking to an individual that was he was a mechanic in one of the dealerships around here. And all the other guys in the deal, because when you work in a mechanic in those dealerships, the more jobs you get done, the more money you make. It's not, you know, how many, I don't know whether I got any guys at work or not. But anyway, he said the other guys were getting upset at him because he would get in early and he would stay late if necessary and he would get more jobs done, so he's making more money. And but he was putting everything he had in it. See, if you just ask the Lord to help you in the natural, he'll help you in the natural. I know some friends of mine, they were working at Collins Radio down in this years ago down there in Dallas. And I told him, I said, just ask God to give you wisdom, because he's been working there long enough. He'd gotten up into the area where he's working in the area that they said he's supposed to have a college education, but he was doing the job. And he said, man, I just don't know, man. This is great. I'm enjoying what I'm doing. But he said, all these guys come in, they're all college grads, and I'm not. I just started working in the factory, and I've worked my way up. I said, don't worry about it. He said, what? I said, don't worry about it. Just ask God for wisdom. He'll give you wisdom. Oh, well. You mean in natural things? I said, yeah, he'll give you wisdom in natural things. He can show you what to do when them guys can't even figure it out. See, I am talking about being a success in life, and not just spiritual, but on both sides of the fence. Anybody getting anything out of this? Learn to stay focused on what you're to do. Don't worry about what somebody else is supposed to do. Hey, I used to tell people all the time in school, I still do. Try to learn something every day, even if it's what not to do. Come on. You know, make a list of what to do and the things not that you're not supposed to do, and put all of your energy on what you should do. God wants you to be successful. Turn to your neighbor and say, God wants you to be successful. Now, the question is, are you ready to do the things that you need to do to have success? First of all, get in the Word. Because that's going to give you a roadmap what to do. Praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, just talk to these people for a few moments. Stir up their pure hearts to realize that you want them to be a success in life. Not just in their spiritual life, but in life, all their life. You said that you wanted them to have life and have it more abundantly. And I thank you that you minister to each heart and each life in this place today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, everybody stand up. Did y'all get anything? Yes. Praise the Lord. Praise God. If you happen to be a first-time guest from the local area here, we're so glad to have you with us tonight. Connection team, go find those people and take them to get that special gift that we want to give them. And if you're looking for a church home, why don't we say church? Welcome home. You found it right here. We call ourselves the Rhema family. We have a great time serving God unlimited around here. Just come on and join us. Amen. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can't get involved in what I'm talking about. Or if you know what it is to serve Him, but you know you're just not where you're supposed to be, and you need to rededicate your life. The ladies are over here and the men are over here. You come down here and they'll pray with you, and you won't leave here like you came, in Jesus' name. If you need prayer for anything, you want prayer for the Holy Spirit, you want somebody to pray with you about, agree with you for a job, or pray with you about anything, as we're dismissed, you come to the front, they'll pray with you, and you won't leave here like you came, in Jesus' name. Amen. That's a favorite saying of mine. Hey, if you pre-registered and you didn't pick up your stuff, go out there in that West Lobby and pick it up. Pick up all your badges and stuff. I mean, Lynette and Denise, they've been working like crazy this week. Kim, our assistant, has been in the same thing. A lot of other people have been involved helping. They got a bag out there they're going to give you. I was down there watching them. Stuff it and get it ready. I mean, when Kindle the Flame week comes around, I go off and do my thing. How many of you guys know what I'm talking about? when the lady has something that she's doing, just okay, you do it. Just tell me if you need me to do it and do something for you. I can do that at least. Hey, Sunday morning right here, 10 o'clock, be here. Praise the Lord. Turn around and shake hands with somebody. We'll see you Sunday. If you need prayer for any reason whatsoever, come to the front right now.